Aleph Sivan Siman Tzadik Dalda Lachates. We're going to Halacha Yutes. This is a fascinating topic of Eruvin. And we'll see again how these things are so applicable, even though they seem to be somewhat abstract. So first of all, when we spoke about the Eruv, and we described that the Eruv is not just the actual, the outside structure, but rather the Iker Eruv is really the bread that brings everyone together. It used to be that they used to unite everyone by collecting flour from each person. That became too much, too difficult. Imagine you're going around the whole Muncie doing so, or Manhattan. But so therefore that we do the process that we described yesterday, which is being mezake, acquiring on behalf of everyone a certain part in the matzahs that we described. Now there's a important halacha that a person should not be makbid on the erev, that your friend shouldn't eat it. So imagine you're the one that has the challah that you just acquired on behalf of everyone, but you don't want anyone to eat your challah. That's a problem. That means ben hashmashas, when the effect of the erev takes effect, it should be that you have absolutely no problem of anyone coming. Anyone can access and come and eat that bread. The custom actually today is to put it in the shul. So this way there's nothing that's going to restrict anyone from going. And it should be actually apparent to people. I don't think if most people know where in the shul they have the erev, it should actually be the what's called a recognizable spot in the shul, sticking out somewhere with a sign. So I don't know why they don't do that so often in shuls. Now, if a person is going to be makbid, that's even because we technically speaking, we said that you could use other foods also. Imagine you have children, but as the Arab, but you're not interested in giving anyone the children. That's a problem. So because of that reason, best not to use an Arab with something that you prepared for Shabbos. So although there's a custom actually to eat the Arab on Shabbos day, there's no problem to eat the Arab on Shabbos day as long as it was there ben hashmashas. But that too, like the kids was warning us, make sure it's not something that you're going to be upset if someone would come ben hashmashas. Now the Arab, like we just described, should be in a place where one could access, and that means if there's someone died in the neighborhood, Achman Elitzan, and one of the Babatim is a Kohen, and he won't be able to come ben hashmashas to the Arab, that's a problem. The entire Arab will be canceled because of that. So therefore, you have to keep that in mind. When it comes to Eruvei Chatzeres, so this whole concept of Eruvei Chatzeres that we're discussing, really the custom is to do it every Erev Shabbos. And on Shabbos, like we said, the Kizu says you should wash in it. Best not to use it at night, best to use it during the day. The reason why I saw that is because we're worried that people are going to start using it at night before it's Ben Shmashas is over. But the custom today really is not to do it every Erev Shabbos. We do it once a year. And the custom today is use matzahs. So matzahs basically survive. Not only that, the matzahs survive, also the Pesach. So the custom actually usually is doing Chol HaMoed Pesach through, obviously there is a life shelf life for matzahs too. You don't do Eruvei Chatzeres on Yom Tov. If Yom Tov comes out on Erev Shabbos like this year, actually this coming Friday, you have to do it on Erev Yom Tov. So you have to remember to do it on Yom Tov. Again, those that would do it on a weekly basis. If someone eats in one place and sleeps in another, that means he has one apartment in that he eats, one apartment that he actually sleeps. The Iker place is the Makom Achila. In regard to whether he's going to make it forbidden for everyone else to be able to carry. That means to say that if he has a place where he eats, so he has to be part of the Erev. If he's not part of the Erev, that is going to be a problem. If it's a place where he just sleeps, it's not a problem. If someone's a guest in the courtyard, so some say that since he's a guest, even if he has his independent place where he's sleeping, it's not a problem. As long as he's there less than 30 days, which is very similar to coming, let's say, to someone's house or a hotel even, and he's being hosted and he's eating by the host. And although even if he's eating in his own, even though that he's having his own apartment, like we said, to sleep, that doesn't make him independent. And that could even be if he's eating alone. The point is that really he's a guest. And when it comes to, and this is where we get a little bit more complicated, when a person has also non-Jews amongst them, so that's where you have to do is what's called Schiras Rishus. And the concept of Schiras Rishus is really almost like a hacker, something recognizable that I have certain rights in this non-Jewish person's apartment or house or whatever it is. So this way his Rishus doesn't limit us from being able to create an Erev. So what's the process? And this is a fascinating thing that throughout history, and then Shmuel speaks about the difficulty, especially in today's terms. How do you do in Muncie? You go over to a non-Jew and say, yeah, you don't mind if I do, here's a, Here's a half a dollar or a quarter or even less than the pruta technically, and I want to buy some rights to your what do I go to policeman and say, can I have rights to the houses of the non-Jews in this house, in this city? It's so difficult. But one of the actual tricks of doing so is actually giving a non-Jew an item and asking him to watch, or at least buying the rights, acquiring the rights to place something in their rishus. So that at least is a little bit more plausible. But again, it's not so simple. There's another interesting discussion. If a Jew and a non-Jew live in a courtyard, there's no requirement. It's interesting because it's actually an unusual thing. A Jew doesn't live with a non-Jew alone. It's only when there's two Jews that are living together. That's when the area is required. And again, you need to be Seicher Reshus from the non-Jew. Now, the same thing that we learned, remember, with the courtyard and inside and outside, if the non-Jew's way of getting out to the street is through your courtyard, that makes it us, and you need to be Seicher Reshus from him. There's actually a discussion in today's apartment buildings. If there's non-Jews on top and they're coming through the downstairs hallway, you'd have to make an Eruv Chatzeres. It won't be enough to won't suffice just to do your area, your floor, which is very interesting. If a courtyard is owned by a Jew and he rented or lent it to a non-Jew to live there, that does not make it Aser. Interesting. Why is that? Because his intention was never to make it the Aser. The halach is, I'm going to end with this, you could rent even from his wife and even from his mesharis, even his servants. The idea is that basically it's only true that the servant has a right to use the house or the courtyard. And like as we said, it makes a bit more sense. We understand this whole thing is just really what's called a hecker, something recognizable that there's some rights. It's called some schuyos in this non-Jew's apartment, and that's what you're doing is in this acquisition process. Have a good Shabbos.